Calvary Church. Thankful to be back tonight. If you have your Bibles with you and like to turn with us to a portion of reading, probably one of the most familiar passages in the Bible. I guess it's probably one that every preacher preaches on, but tonight is the first time I've ever been able to use this as my lesson text. I have never been able to use these scriptures other than in passing. Maybe I'll quote them carefully. Sometimes I misquote things, but I've never used this actually as my subject. 1 Samuel and the 17th chapter. And we'll start with the 17th verse, but I want to tell you just a little story to set ourselves up here. It's kind of funny, and you're going to think, what in the world does that have to do with these scriptures? You all know the story of David and Goliath, and that's what our message is on tonight. But I guess if I was to title this, it would be Little Is Much When God Is In It. But as I thought about the battle that David and Goliath had, and the scripture says that David was a small man. I believe he was, in comparison to the 9-foot giant that he was fixing to go up against, every one of us would be small. If you're a Gregory, you would definitely be small. We're not known for being the tallest lot in the bunch, but we would be very small in comparison to a 9-foot Philistine. Every one of us would be small. When I was in high school, I believe it was about junior year, we were sitting in the cafeteria, and if you know any, well, in my grade, we had these little blue cafeteria trays. Some of you all may remember those from your time in high school and in grade school, but that's what we had. That's what you put your lunch on. And there was this little girl, and I'm not going to call her name, but she got picked on every single day. Somebody always picked on her. And some things she brought upon herself, but she really didn't deserve to be picked on. Nobody deserves to be picked on. I don't care who you are or what you've done. Nobody deserves to be picked on. This girl got picked on ruthlessly. Well, there was this big girl, and I'm not talking just big in size. She was built like, she was taller than I was. She was built bigger than I was. She was an athlete. And finally, this little girl one day was being picked on by this girl. And I remember looking around, and there was a big commotion happening. And the girl took her lunch tray and beat the bigger girl over the head with that tray. And in a slump, that big girl fell. Well, none of us could believe that this little thing took on this big girl, but she did. And it was the talk of the school for a long time of what happened in that cafeteria. It's something to witness. I'm not advocating taking your tray and beating anybody in the head. That's not what I want to talk about tonight. But you know, sometimes the littlest things pack the biggest punch. Sometimes it's not all about how big it is, but what's helping it. That girl had probably built up a lot of rage inside of her, and no doubt that's what helped her take that tray and bend it over that girl's head. But as I thought about what the Lord has placed upon our heart and what He placed upon this morning, I thought that I would get to these scriptures this morning, but I didn't get to. We talk about fighting a battle. Every single one of us that's here tonight fights battles. You fight them, I fight them, we as a church, we fight them. We're going to fight battles the rest of our lives. Our churches, if times continue to go on, are going to fight battles that we've never fought before. Catastrophic things can happen around us in just a few short years if we're not careful. So the church of the true and the living God, we're going to fight battles. Individuals, we're going to fight battles, much like Goliath and David here. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 17. Very familiar reading to all of you. We're not going to read all of this. It's wonderful scripture, and I would encourage you to go and read it. But it is a wonderful battle that takes place in the Bible. One of my favorites to read about. It says, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath, by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw this man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be, that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab his brother heard when he spake and unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And whom hast thou left these few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down here for that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him, and again after the former manner. When the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul and sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he and a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and it took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and he slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivereth me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded up his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And I want to just read just a couple more verses. It says, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. If you remember the lesson from this morning about the armor of God, David didn't put on the armor that the other people would have taken with him. David, or Saul, tried to put on him this helmet of brass and this coat of mail. And the sword, I guess it was probably as big as David was. It probably wasn't something that was going to be very light. If you had on a coat of mail, if you know what that is, it's the protection of your arms and your legs. It bends a little bit so that you're able to walk and move. He's got this helmet of brass on, and little old David, no doubt it didn't fit him very well. You see, the armor of God is different. It's not a physical armor that you and I are going to put on. The armor of God is something spiritual that we must put on. But this armor that David tried to put on, it wouldn't work. David realized, if we go back to what his dad, Jesse, asked him to do, he said, you take these things down there and then you come back and watch these sheep. David, being who that he was, went down there, took the things, and began to hear some of the things that were being told. Can you imagine looking out and seeing this big giant that's there, knowing that the army that's there has got to go to them and fight them? This big man who has been a man of war since his youth, the Bible says. Just the big old guy. I always likened Goliath when I was younger to my dad. I always thought that man looked like what Goliath must have looked like. As I get older, Dad gets a little smaller. But that guy must have been a big dude. And you think about all of these other men, they were scared of Goliath. I would have been scared of Goliath. Little old David begins to speak. Begins to tell these people, his brothers were mad, just as mad as they could be. You go back home and you watch those sheep and you just get out of the way. I know you're down here just to meddle in what's going on, but you get out of here, David, go home. We don't want you down here. Go back. Probably being big brothers, and I'm not a big brother, but I have a little cousin that I was protective of when we were growing up, probably wanted to protect David. Wanted to make sure nothing happened to David. Get back home, David. He didn't want to be squishy and say, David, I love you. Go home so nothing happens to you. So he just told him, he said, you just get back there. David wouldn't do it. Read with me again what David said in the 29th verse. Every one of us that's here tonight should take this verse of Scripture to heart. If it doesn't sink into us, we need to be falling on our knees. David said in the 29th verse, he said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Are we just going to stand back and let Goliath win? Is that what we're going to do? Are we just going to let this big old man just throw us around the armies of the living God? Are we going to allow this to happen? Are we just going to stand back and let him win? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason that we're losing? Is there not a reason that we can't go against him? The armies of the living God, surely, surely, God would be with his own army. And yet we run around scared. I would have been scared. I'll just be honest with you. Living in this life is a scary thing sometimes. Working for God is scary sometimes. Listen to me tonight. Working for the Lord is the best thing you will ever do in your life. You will never find anything that will make you happier than serving a living God. You'll not find one thing. But it is scary. It is scary. For the man of God that has to preach, it's scary. I face a Goliath every time I stand to preach. You all face a Goliath every single time you get in your car and decide, I'm going to God's house. That's a Goliath. Because the devil stands on the other side and says, don't you go down there. Nothing for you there. Stay at home. Nothing for you there. We're facing Goliath, brothers and sisters. And David seemed to not be afraid. I want to understand why he wasn't afraid. So what did Saul do, the king? David, you want to go? What really was Saul going to lose if it didn't work out? Remember what happened with the Lord speaking to Saul? Remember what he told him? He already knew the outcome, really. But he was going to send David. Just go on, David. You want to go? Go on. He tells him, you're not going to be able to fight against him because you're a youth. And then David begins to tell him why he's capable of going against this Goliath. He begins to tell him about some of his experiences as a shepherd. David knew about things that were coming against him. He talks about the lion and the bear. And he talks about overcoming them. You see, every battle that you and I face as children of God, you know what it's arming us for? The next battle. It's getting us prepared for the next thing we've got to fight. You see, Mount Calvary Church right now is kind of in a lull on some things. Say, preacher, what's that mean? We don't have a major battle that we're having to face right now. We don't have something right in front of us that is staring us down the face that we've got to deal with. But we don't know what's around the next corner. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, Wednesday night, Sunday morning. We don't know what's headed our way. So the best thing we can do is be on guard so that when trouble comes, we can fight it. We've got to stand. Told you this morning, we've got to stand strong. We never know what's going to walk through those doors. We don't know what you're going to face the next day. David probably woke up that morning and thought, well, I'll go down here and feed my animals, and I'll make sure they're all right. Little did he know, I'm going to go fight a 9-foot giant. None of us wake up in the morning and said, yippee, let me go fight a battle today. Let me go see what trouble I can get myself into. But you see around every corner, guess who's there? The devil waiting on every single one of us. He's waiting on this church at every corner. He's waiting on every one of us. Just saying, just give me an inch and I'm going to take a mile. You just give me one little crack and I'll break everything up that's been going on over there at that church. I'll rip it all to pieces. And you know what we have to do? Stand on guard. Much as David did. You say, preacher, what does little as much have to do with any of this? You see what happens if we're standing in this army together? David ran out there one on his own. But he wasn't alone. They could have had all of the army come with him. David was going to win that battle. David gets that armor on him, just probably falling off. Brothers and sisters, we don't need to arm ourselves with things of the world. We don't need to arm ourselves with things that are going to rot and go away. That armor would have slowed David down. Wouldn't have done him any good. Wouldn't have helped him in any way. Wouldn't have made a difference for David. It would have slowed him down and kept him from getting his goal done. You see, what a church needs to do, what our church needs to do, is keep focusing on the Lord. We got to worry about what we've got to do to continue to see lost souls saved. We've got to continue to work and strive to see God magnified. Oh, don't you know God was fixing to be magnified with what was going to take place there? What did David do? Just took that armor right back off. I'm not talking about the armor of God. This is a different type of armor. You better keep on your armor of God. And if you've not put it on, you better start. Better start putting it on and getting it ready. Make sure everything works right. Get everything in order for the battle that is before us. Make sure you're ready to go at a moment's notice. David took his staff. Don't you think for David, that staff was a little bit comforting for him? He'd been out there in the field, wrangling those sheep and those animals around. They were comforting. It was comforting to him. You see, in my battle, you know what I told you this morning? One of the most comfortable things that I have is this Bible right here. I have another Bible in the car that I take in if I'm visiting another church. But I'm really comfortable when I've got this one by my side. You say, preacher, it doesn't matter. It's the Word of God. You see, this is my staff. This is the thing that I have that I know that when I feel low or when there's a battle that's before me, I can open up the Word of God and I can fight anything because this is mine. God has allowed me to have this. It's my portion. That staff was comforting to David. What did he do? He chose him 5 smooth stones. Probably weren't very big. If you've ever been down to the creek bank and skipped a few rocks, that's probably about what he got. Probably some stones. I don't know how big they were. They probably weren't very big. Now you put this in your mind just real quick. Just think about this just for a moment. 9-foot man. Big guy. Bigger than anybody here. Put it that way. Taller than Brother Jeanette. Big tall guy. And you don't have any armor on. You know what the world thinks about us? You just really want to know. We don't have to contend with them too much because there's not much to them. Oh, but if they only knew. If they could only figure out what we're really about, they would want everything that we've got. They would. If the world had been standing around watching this battle that was taking place, people would have been standing around saying, better get him a casket ready because he's fixing to come back in pieces. This little dude's fixing to run out there with 5 smooth stones, 9-foot man, and he don't have a stitch of armor on. Well, this should be fun. Grabs those 5 smooth stones. I don't know why he had 5. I don't know that there's really much to look into about why there's 5. Some people catch big ideas on why he had 5, but really, you know, David only needed 1. He only needed one shot. But I guess he got five of them just in case the first one went awry. But he had five. All he needed was one. You know what I think it meant? Go prepared. Make sure you've got enough with you so that when something does go a little bit askew, you're ready to go. But he had five of them. Smooth stones. You know what he probably should have had? That big old sword wielding around. But I guarantee you, if David had started taking that sword, it had been dragging along behind him, clinking on everything as you're going across this field. But all he's got is five smooth stones. And the battle's fixing to go on. The battle's fixing to start raging here. And it's not going to be a battle like normal. The scriptures had told us that army had set against army. And I guarantee you there was a whole lot of bloodshed. It probably wasn't a clean battle. They were probably running all over this army. The Israelite army. Philistines, big old people. They were a warring nation. They knew exactly what they were doing. Listen to what happens in the 42nd verse. It says, "When the Philistine looked about and saw David." Can you imagine in Goliath's mind, of all the men that Israel could send out here, you've sent out that little thing? That's what you've got coming at me. I'm a man that's as big as I am and knows all about the warring techniques, and this is what you've sent. And he disdained him. Just looked down on him because he was a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou hast comest to me with staves?" Making fun of David. The Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield." But listen to David's next reply. Brothers and sisters, as children of God, this should be our reply every single time we stand before Goliath. As this church continues to grow, as we continue to move forward in your lives as saved people, as you continue to move forward in your sanctification, you're going to face roadblocks. You're going to face the devil all of the time. And if you're saved and the devil's not messing with you, you better figure out why. But listen to David's reply. He didn't say, "I come to thee because I'm of Jesse's house." What did he say? He said, "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee unto my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all of the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." And it came to pass when the Philistine arose, and he came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Didn't waste any time. Didn't sit back and say, "Well, what have I done? I messed up. Here he comes." David took out a course across there. Here he goes. It says, "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it." It's not like a slingshot. It's not like that what we have today where you pull it back. And he was winding that thing up as he ran. I'm going to be honest with you. The accuracy of that thing probably was not going to be very good. I'm not a very good shot with a gun anyways. I'd probably miss every time, especially if you give me something I had to wind up and shoot out of there. But here he goes. It says he slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon the face of the earth. So David prevailed. He won over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, what did they do? Did they start coming at David? No, they fled. Now let me be honest with you about something. Should this have happened? No. Should David have won? No. Should the Philistines have fled? I would have. If somebody kills the champion of my army with a slingshot, I'm heading a different direction. But they could have killed David for killing their champion. They could have done exactly what they wanted to, except for one thing. God was on his side. You see, the world doesn't have the luxury of having God on their side anymore, but God's people do. We have the luxury of Him being on our side. He's the God of our army. He's the captain of our army. He knows the battle plan, as I told you this morning. Should He have won? Not a chance. Should we win the battles that we do? Probably not. But why do we win the battles? Because the battle is already the Lord's. The battle is already in His hand. Isn't it wonderful? I love to win. If we're going to sit down and play a game, you better believe I'm going to fight to the death. Don't ever get in a card game of spoons with me, because I guarantee you I will win one way or another. I'm going to get you somehow. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of times I lose. And I don't like it. But you want to know something tonight? I've lost a few battles every now and then, physically myself. But you know, every battle that God has been with me, I've never lost a one. The ultimate battle that we have before us tonight, warring against the world, we're not going to lose. We may win. Lose a few battles from time to time, but oh, the victory's already ours. Might as well engrave our name on the trophy and give it to us. It's already ours, as we sang tonight. The old rugged cross, you want to talk about a victory trophy? The day that Jesus died on the cross, we won. We won. You know what He told him? He says, "You take up your cross and you follow me." We're carrying the cross tonight. The banner that we are on God's side. We're carrying the cross. Oh, but someday, as that song said, I will trade that old cross for a crown. I'm going to take off this whole robe of flesh that I have on. And I'm going to have a new body that will never face another battle. This one's got a few battle scars on it. It's going to have a few more if time goes on. But I've won. I've won. You've won. If you've been saved by the grace of God, if you've not been saved, you're already losing. You're losing tonight. I'm glad, though, that I'm not on the side of the Philistines. They should have won. The world says today that Jesus should not have come out of that grave. But He did. But He did. Why is that? Because God's hand was in it. It was God's Son. Why, brothers and sisters, if you look through this book, you read time and time and time again where those that didn't have very many there, they won a lot of the time. It didn't take a great big army a lot of times to win the battles. Remember Gideon? We talked about it on Wednesday night a few Wednesday nights ago. While they had a great army that was going up against the Midianites, and guess what? God kept dwindling it down. He said, "You just keep bringing me smaller and smaller numbers." And guess what? They took those lamps and those vases and they just broke them and began to shout. And it scared them to death, and the people there began turning on each other and they ran out. They began to kill each other. They looked up in the night and saw all around there. They thought that they had been encamped about by the enemy, and they thought, "There's no way we're getting out of here." There wasn't very many of them, but they was making a great big noise. You know what I long for? The church of the true and the living God. There might not be a whole host of us. I watched something last night. I watched a video of this, and I'm going to use air quotes. This church, it's an organization really, and they had about 5,000 people in this one service. Well, they would run us over tonight. We couldn't get 5,000 people in this building. I'd try it, but we couldn't. The world would say they're the ones that are God's children, that God has favor with. God's people have never been large in number. Maybe every now and then they'd get together. Remember the day of Pentecost? There were over 3,000 souls just saved. No doubt there were more. There was a great host there. But in respect to everybody that was alive, probably wasn't very many. You get all the missionary Baptists together at one time, and guess what? There's going to be quite a few of us. If every single one of us got together, truly, everyone that was saved and a member of the Lord's Church, even those that aren't saved, even those that aren't members of the Lord's Church, if they got together, those that have truly been saved by the grace of God, in respect to the number of people in this world, we wouldn't be a drop in the bucket. And the world would say, well, they just don't have anything. We're facing a Goliath. But you want to know who's on our side? God Himself. That's a battle we've got to win. I tell you all the time that I stand in this pulpit or down here in the altar and I look out and I see the cars that pass by here in Nashville. And I've not reached all of them yet. So should I be satisfied with that? Is my battle won? No. I'm still working on it. My hope is that we can reach all of them. We've not reached the world yet. We've got a big Goliath in front of us. If we, that's our one Goliath. If that's the only battle we've got, we've still not won it yet. Even more than that, you and I are going to face battles in our life. That the devil's going to try to distract us from the overall goal of our churches, of our saved lives. And we need to let him know just exactly what David said in the 45th verse. I'm going to read it again and I'm going to close tonight. I know this has been a shorter message than I typically preach, but that's okay. Sometimes it doesn't have to take a long time to get your point across. 45th verse says this, "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." 47th verse. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." Our thought tonight is little as much when God is in it. Isn't that the truth? Little as much when God is in it. It doesn't take a whole bunch. Say, "Preacher, are you telling us to not give a very big effort?" I'm telling you tonight, you give the best effort you've got, but even the best effort you've got is still not very much. We're not very much, but that's okay because God knows who we are. The Bible says He knows that we're dust and He remembers our frame. He knows all about us. He knows just exactly what we can do and what we can give. He knows all of our strengths and all of our weaknesses. Remember the lady over in the New Testament? She had two mites. Just a widow. They passed around that offering there and she put in all that she had. Two little bitty mites. Wouldn't probably very much. People could have been putting in everything they got. And you know what the Lord said? She gave all she had. Little as much when God is in it. We look around sometimes at Mount Calvary, and I know you all do. I know I do, and we get to feeling sorry for ourselves, and we say, well, we're not very great in number. Forget about that. You know who's with us? The God of all gods. The King of all kings, and the Lord of all lords. I want us to grow, and I want us to prosper, and I want to see souls saved. But I'm not worried about the numbers. But I'm worried about the Holy Spirit. And if He's with us, that is all that matters. Because little is much when God is in it. Might look like a little to the rest of the world, but when God is in it, it is much. I'm thankful that He's on my side and I'm with Him. So I'm going to encourage us tonight here at Mount Calvary. Well, I have preached pretty hard to the church the last few weeks. I know I had to miss a week for the kidney stone, but that's all right. But I've preached pretty hard to you all the last few weeks about how we should condition ourselves to be ready for our lives in sanctification and about the battles that you and I are going to face in choosing the Lord. It's no different tonight. The messages are not any different tonight. If Mount Calvary seeks to do the will of God, it has to be ready for the battle. It says the battle is the Lord's. But we're still alive. We've still got time on our side. And so guess what? As long as we're still breathing, as long as there's still time on this old watch going around and there's still breath in this old body, I've still got a battle to fight. Are you ready to fight? Is your armor shined up and is it ready to go? Are you ready to get down and fight with the best of them? Brothers and sisters, I told you this afternoon as we met together in the altar and get grabbed hands and dismissed in that circle of prayer, we are Mount Calvary strong. We are Mount Calvary strong. Why are we Mount Calvary strong? Is it because we're this church? No. It's because God is with us. If He was not with us, we wouldn't be very strong. But we are strong because of Him. May God bless you is our prayer while we stand together and while we sing.